Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show, live from Pete and Terry's Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators take the ice tonight, take on Vancouver here at All. Right on 102.5, the game starting at pregame at 6. Puck drops at 7. Let's go back to the phone line. Our special guest, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Ted's going to be in town this weekend at Music City MultiCon down in Lebanon. It's a huge event. A lot of wrestlers, a lot of actors coming here. And one of the big ones is Ted DiBiase. Ted, when was the last time you were in Nashville?
Oh, my gosh. It's been so long, I can't even remember. I mean, it must have been, it was one of the times I either wrestled there or was, you know, like after I stopped wrestling physically, I was a ringside manager for several guys. So that would have to be the last time I was there. But, you know, I was going to ask you guys, I mean, I was thinking about bringing my wife with me. Are there any great shows going on right now that I could take her to this weekend?
I haven't checked the schedule. Might be a Preds. You've been to a hockey game? I think the Preds might play this weekend. We'll double check that for you. If you haven't been to a Preds game, it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, I haven't been, but I mean, the last time I played hockey, I was playing sandlot hockey right across the street from where I live. You know, I lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and every time they knew the first freeze was coming, they would flood this park and just make it. It was ice. So I mean, I stopped a hockey puck with my face.
Oh Lord!
Right between the eyes, and you can even see, you can see the scar across the top of my nose now. But anyway,
here's a funny story, Ted. A lot of people have moved to Nashville, and Nashville's become home for a lot of people. One of my dearest friends in the whole world is Reno Riggins. Okay.
Okay.
Reno just sent me a note and says, at the end of one of y'all's matches, you would stuff a $100 bill in his mouth. Virgil, his bodyguard, would always ask for it back. One night, Reno says, I just swallowed it and told Virgil I'd give it to him later on.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what we did do. It's like, that was kind of like, you know, when I don't know if you guys remember Terry Funk, but he was one of the greats of all time. And, he was the cowboy, you know, and he would do this thing where obviously he wouldn't really brand him, but he would, he would beat somebody and take a branding iron and just like, put the ink, whatever it was on, on their leg or something, And so I said, well, man, I've got to have something. So I said, every time I win, then I'll just stuff a $100 bill in their mouth. And then, I would start to go, and I would say, Virgil, get the money.
Oh, that was great. What was, such a great career and everything that went on. What's the one moment where that stands out more than any other one, Ted?
I wrestled I started in the summer of 75, and I physically wrestled, all the way to like 1992 or 3, I believe. And, back in those days, I mean, even when I went to work for Vince, we would wrestle. It finally got it down to, we would go out for 3 straight weeks, 21 days, 21 cities, and we'd go home for a week, and then we'd go out and do it again. Then they changed it to 10 days off 10 days on, 3 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. But any way you looked at it, we were only off like 6 days a month. But to try and pick, you know, one of them now, my first WrestleMania, I wrestled Macho Man Randy Savage in the main event at WrestleMania 4. And WrestleMania 4 was kind of like a tournament because I, you know, in the storyline of wrestling, I had purchased Andre the Giant, and Andre the Giant beats Hogan for the belt on TV, and of course they said, well, that can't, you know, and then Andre gives me the belt, and so they made a big fuss about that, and they said, well, they can't do that, you know, you can't buy the championship. That was the whole thing, was I was going to prove that I could buy everything, including the world title. And so they hold it up and they said, we're going to have a tournament to declare a new champion. And so that tournament was WrestleMania 4, and it ended up being and Macho Man in the last match. And of course, Macho Man beat me and became the next champion. And I turned Macho Man from a heel to a good guy overnight.
Wow, my goodness. Well done there, Ted. We're talking to Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, in town this weekend at the Music City Multicon at the Farm Bureau Expo Center down in Lebanon.
So, Ted, you had a neck injury in your career that kind of prohibited you from being in the ring, but you kind of transitioned over into a manager because you had excellent mic skills in your career. What was that like, kind of transitioning from being a wrestler in the ring to kind of managing and being more of the guy that is on the mic in that aspect of the business?
Well, you know, for anybody that's been a wrestler, and had the success that I had, you know, moving from the ring to just talking, it's not like exactly what I would have preferred to do. You know, the best of me, I felt like when I was an in-ring character. But yeah, I mean, because I love the business, I said, yeah, whatever I can do to help. And so basically most of the time, the promotion was, I'm sitting outside and a helicopter is flying overhead.
Uh-oh.
They're looking for me.
Watch out.
Usually they would put a manager with somebody who had really good in-ring skills that wasn't necessarily great on the mic.
Uh-huh.
And so that's pretty much how they utilized me. So.
Well, that's course, good. You're still beloved.
I did manage Stone Cold Steve Austin, and we found out he didn't need anybody to speak for him.
That is absolutely correct. Ted, it's a pleasure. Again, go see you at Music City Multicon this weekend, Farm Bureau Expo Center in Lebanon. And, Ted, it's been an honor, man. Thank you so much. Safe travels to Nashville, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, guys. And I might add the guys that are going to be with me, Mike Rotunda, Ron Simmons, Jimmy Hart, Scotty Steiner.
Love it. Love it. You guys are legends, Ted. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Ted DiBiase coming to town. You ever been one of those comic multi-con things?
No, I've never been to one.
Those guys are they're so fantastic. They're so nice and so appreciative that, you know, they meant so much to us growing up and everything, and they're just wonderful people.
I probably need to go out there. I've heard good things about the Expo Center out there in Lebanon.
Who would you like to meet? Taylor Swift? Who's one person? You like Travis Kelce? Pete Weber?
The person that I would want to meet would not be liked around these parts very much. If I can meet one person, it'd be Hines Ward.
Hines Ward?
Hines Ward. That's my childhood idol. He's the reason I got into football in the first place. I'm always a big fan of Hines Ward.
Well done there. I'd like to meet Hal Gill one day. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, Jonathan Hutton's going to join us. We'll get back into the Titans and trading Kevin Byard. Our question on the text line is, what one trade in sports just devastated you? A lot of reaction, and we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton. That's coming up next right here. This is Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Mr. Crane?
It's not that depressing.
That's the mood a lot of Titans fans are right now. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live this morning at Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. Predators take on Vancouver tonight. Pregame starts at 6. Puck drops at 7. Let's now bring in our good friend Jonathan Hutton today with reaction to Kevin Byard doing this. Jonathan getting traded. Jonathan, you know Kevin Byard. Were you shocked? Not shocked? Surprised? Not surprised? Your reaction to all this?
I wasn't shocked. Not surprised either, Joe. I just didn't know which way. It was just an answer to a question of which way the Titans were going to be leaning at the trade deadline. I think they wanted to trade him this offseason if they could have. I think the contract kept them from that. I'm told that Howie Roseman and the Eagles have long liked Kevin Byard. They liked him coming out of Middle Tennessee and would say as much to scouts within the organization from time to time at different events. So, I don't think it's a shock either that Roseman and the Eagles were interested. And, yeah, I mean, I think if they would have restructured the deal or taken a pay cut, rather, to remain a Titan this offseason, chances are a deal like this gets done in the offseason instead of at the deadline. But the restructure and what they did right before the season started allowed this deal to get done because monetarily it's most of that money was paid in a signing bonus and the Eagles could tack that on to the roster and the cap that they had.
How does Mike Vrabel spin this as not giving up on the season?
Quite frankly, I think fans would see it that way if they don't trade any other pieces. And if they do, there's no way it's to spin it. It's the same. If Henry ends up getting traded, Joe, there's no other way to spin it than exactly that. It's the same obvious point to what we had last year when they fired John Robinson in December. Titans were done at that point. The players aren't dumb. They know what's going on. And there are a lot of players with expiring contracts that either were brought back with the sense of, okay, they just fired the general manager. There's a sign that the new one's coming in. There's going to be a rebuild. And then in the offseason, there wasn't one really. They drafted a backup quarterback and a backup running back, a starting offensive lineman who's good, and some pieces that hope to develop, but again, not immediate help. And then they signed DeAndre Hopkins late in the process, and it's like, okay, one foot in, one foot out. Players see this. And the players will also take note of what happens between now and a week from today at the deadline, because we saw the signal last year in December. This would be a sign in October before Halloween or on Halloween at the deadline that they're looking towards next season before they get into month number 3 of the regular season. They're never going to say just total bottom out. They will not do that. That's not in Mike Vrabel's DNA. But they had to have draft pieces. They had 6 total picks before yesterday. 3 of those 6 were 7th round selections. And if you're looking at this roster, the one thing that is glaring, and it has been glaring for now going on 2 years, maybe 3, the lack of young talent as depth pieces. They are completely void of that in terms of depth, and especially when it comes to young pieces, affordable back-end roster pieces on the back end of the draft that still haven't panned out as pieces to this puzzle. They need a lot of everything, and you can't do that straight through free agency, even if they got a ton of money. And if Byard's not a part of this deal, part of the restructure of the roster after this year, you try to get what they did yesterday, which is a 5th and 6th round pick in exchange for what's been a solid piece to your organization and been the role model of what you want in every player you bring in.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, do you think that Kevin Byard was consulted about this trade? Do you think that he was working with Vrabel and Carthon on this? And do you think that he wanted this, or do you think that he would have rather stuck with being a Tennessee Titan for the long haul?
It's a great question. I don't know that answer. What do I think? I think Byard knew that he was a tradable asset whenever he signed that new deal. But whenever he signed it, he got $7 million right then and there on the signing line there. So I think he wanted to be here. I think, you know, absolutely it was an insulting way to go about asking him to take a pay cut. But yeah, I mean, it's the business. Byard was a true pro in how he handled everything. He's no doubt he was pissed off about it, but you know, he kind of shrugged it off and went about his season. But we didn't hear his name very much, quite frankly, this year. I don't. Here's the deal: consulted, no; told about it ahead of time, sure, and through his agent, that would have certainly been in talks with whatever team they're going to end up with as soon as it happened. Or the fact that, I mean, if Roseman, the way I'm told, Roseman's calling in the off season about Byard, the agent certainly knows that too, and. What would have been a slap in the face in the offseason, now he's got a chance to go win a title. That wasn't happening here.
So, Jonathan, with this big game coming up, the Titans are coming out of the bye week. They got Atlanta here at home. Ryan Tannehill likely not starting. What do they need to do in this game? And honestly, who do they need to start at quarterback to kind of get this team back on track? And do you think that really – this game in particular against Atlanta is going to be the decision maker on whether or not the Titans are still necessarily in go for it mode, or that they're going to kind of wave the white flag after this matchup?
I mean, I think it certainly can be. I'll answer your first question or second question first. I think it certainly could be, because I mean, after this, you end up 2-5 with a situation where you're playing Pittsburgh after that. Look, Junie, I think in regards to the Atlanta game, it's the game they've got to win. But also a game that, I mean, the roster could look a lot different even before Sunday, based on the way the trades have gone down. And you're making deals now. The deadline's the deadline. Teams are making acquisitions now, trying to pick up a piece and get things going by the time the deadline rolls around and you go into the week 9 week with your piece already there that you're trying to acquire. That would be my mindset as the general manager. As far as the Atlanta game being the end-all be-all, the way I view the Titans is different than the way I view, for instance, and have viewed the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings got off to a terrible start, and now they're sitting in the 8th spot, the last team out in the NFC, in the NFL playoff picture. That team can be a playoff team. That team is built to make a run, actually have some consistency and couple together a few wins, stack some wins on their schedule, and be a playoff contender come December and be in the postseason. The Titans don't have the depth. They don't have the consistency, quite frankly. They're so inept offensively week to week. They don't have the offense to be that type of team. And defensively, they've given up explosive plays that don't allow you the opportunity to get the ball back if you're having a pretty good day moving the football between the 20s, their problem is the red zone. Point being, I don't know if it's the end-all be-all with what they want to be the rest of the season. They want to be in the playoffs. But the NFL changes drastically over 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, San Francisco is dominating the Dallas Cowboys, and 2 weeks later they've lost 2 straight.
Right.
So can the Titans stack some wins now? Sure. Do they need Ryan Tannehill? Yes. Because here's what I know. They're not stacking wins with Malik Willis. And they know that. They have to know that. If Will Levis is not the quarterback, if Tannehill isn't the guy, that's a huge problem on what this staff has pointed to as the solution for what was a bad backup quarterback a year ago in Malik Willis. You can pin that on Robinson all you want to. This is on Vrabel. Vrabel made that call. Rand Carthon made that call. And they did the same thing that the Titans did a year ago with John Robinson as the general manager. They drafted a backup quarterback and a backup running back. We've got to see those guys. There's a reason, and I don't buy into the, oh, it's a bad situation to put him in because he's going to get banged up and he's going to get knocked around. He's going to lose his confidence. No. I would lose my confidence if I can't beat out Malik Willis, who doesn't know to run out of bounds late in that game in London, instead of trying to go for the pylon when it's a busted play, or not taking a sack in a crucial situation. That's where Levis can be better. And look, even if Tannehill goes, I would want to see Levis as the backup QB. I would elevate him that far.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton. He's the host of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, what do you make of the report today, allegedly, from Dana Russini, where nobody wants Derrick Henry?
I mean, at the price tag, or – I mean, look, teams are calling about Henry, but they want to know if it's going to be a fire sale or not. And here's the other thing, Joe. When I say no – when she says no one's interested in Henry – I mean, they'd be interested in Derrick Henry for, you know, some type of conditional late round pick.
Sure.
But you also have to have some cap space in order to pull this off. That's number one. And number two, it's unrealistic to begin with that he was going to pull or draw some mid-range draft selection, day two draft selection, because of the value on running back right now. If you are a team that goes through the run or has a high priced running back, you either have your guy or you have a backup right now that is producing at a level that you're comfortable with until you're getting your guy back. We saw that with Deontay Foreman in Chicago this past weekend. We saw that with Kareem Hunt in Cleveland this past weekend. That there are guys that are available that teams have already put on their roster that are producing to a decent level for teams that believe they are playoff caliber worthy. But I would, if I'm, and I don't know the draft selections here for teams. If I'm Seattle, if I am Minnesota, Dallas, there are other examples to look at. I mean, I'm certainly picking up the phone and asking questions about what it would take. And I'm trying to figure out what money would be allocated towards staying here versus picking up. And right now it's $6.4 million remaining of the 11 that he had going into the season on a per game payment. So it's steep for a league that doesn't value running back, especially running backs over the age of 30.
Is Vrabel, in your opinion, starting to kind of get on the hot seat, Jonathan?
Not yet. Not at 2-4, Joe. But at this time last year, I would have said the same thing about John Robinson. And for the accolades and the bio of, you've got the playoff, so many winning seasons, playoff appearances, AFC South championships. Vrabel's got that. I think, by the way, it would be a bad decision to fire John Robinson. It was a bad decision to fire John Robinson. Bad decision to fire Mike Vrabel. I'm not making the case here. But Robinson had the same type of bio. And Amy said that she had made up her mind in December. So, yeah, if this turns, who knows? Who knows based on what we saw happen last year and the timing of everything. But right now, no, I don't see a hot seat scenario. But can the seat get hot? Sure, because I think the signal was sent to everyone within the organization, including Mike Vrabel a year ago. Win and win more than what we have been winning. AFC South championships and then bowing out in the postseason just isn't good enough for ownership. That's what she said. So, okay, if that's the case, then who knows what she's thinking as things go south. And by the way, she would also be, speaking of being consulted, she would be consulted on these trades. And that could also be a reason why they're having a fire sale too. Let's not forget the other piece, which is ownership for a coach that does not sign up to tank, period. He's not going into 2023 thinking about 2024. Vrabel is solely focused on the season that he's coaching. And make no mistake, Vrabel has the power in this structure right now. So he did in the offseason, and now he's got it here, at least for now. And this is also a sign of where do we see the pivot to where Carthon starts making his moves versus when Vrabel wouldn't be making those calls, making the decision of here's who I need, here's what we're doing, here's the plan versus here's the plan for next year. Again, Vrabel does not think that way. So I don't think he's wanting to push pieces aside, thinking that that's going to improve the team that's already pretty bad.
Absolutely. We'll hear from Vrabel at 11 o'clock today. Jonathan, as always, man, we love your perspective. Thank you for everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, always enjoy this. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the show.
Jonathan Hutton, you can hear him with Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, you know, 94.9. Every weekday over there. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Your reactions to what's the one trade that's devastated you? in professional sports that you still can't get over. And 11 o'clock, Mike Vrabel is going to talk to the media. We're going to scoot out a couple minutes early and let the talented midday crew come in and get you all set up for that. We're live this morning at Pete and Terry's. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Into the Chase and Big Joe Show. Junior Riddle in for Chase McCabe here live from Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena as the Nashville Predators are set to face off the Vancouver Canucks tonight at 8:15 pregame beginning at 7. Our boy Frazier playing all the Kesha tunes is back at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. Before we get back in today's topic, talking about Kevin Byard getting traded to the Philadelphia Eagles and other trades that have hurt you over the years, check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal from Bad Axe Throwing. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25. Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville's largest axe throwing venue, located downtown at 648 Fogg Street. So going back into the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, got to bring up this text from Wes from Hermitage. He said, morning, fellas. Just figured I'd share this bit with you. Last night I purchased my first Eagles jersey in my life. Never thought I would do that. The back reads 00 for the number, and then the name is just a Titans fan. Fly, Titans, fly. Might as well root for them now, with all, considering it seems as if all the former Titans players are now moving on to the Eagles to compete for Super Bowls.
They are. Correction, tonight's Preds puck drop. Thank you, Brandon from Spring Hill. Is at 8:15 and not at 7 because I didn't read what was in front of me.
Yeah, so, I mean, it typically is here, a 7 p.m. puck drop, but I think because, you know, Vancouver's so West Coast, they're doing it a little bit later time for the fans out there.
Also have the Frozen Frenzy tonight, ESPN Desert broadcast of, like, just a lot of all the teams are playing tonight. So
right.
every puck drop is, like, every 15 minutes, I think, starting at 5 all the way to 10 p.m.
Oh, very good. Our question today, Junie, put it out there. What trade devastated you in sports? And mine was when Dell Murphy was traded from the Braves in 1990 to the Phillies, and then the Braves go to the World Series the next year. I was crushed because Murphy gave his heart and soul to the organization. And I understand Dave Justice got his chance to play and was an integral part of the Braves' resurgence, winning the World Series in 95, man. But it devastated me when he was gone. So your reactions have been fantastic with all this. Let's see what Tim has to say. Tim, on the text line, says, he goes back to the hockey. He says, thanks for having on Ted DiBiase. We love him. You must meet Hacksaw Jim Duggan. If you just missed that, we had the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, called in this morning. And it's funny. This is the great thing about live radio, my friends. We reached out to him, and it was never confirmed. And so Ted just called today and wanted to be on the radio. So you kind of roll with it. I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and we're trying to look at Dr. Crane back in the studio. And Dr. Crane is doing a great job of piloting the boat. So, Dr. Crane, kudos to you, man, for keeping it all going straight forward.
Yeah, we had Hal Gill, Ted DiBiase, and Jonathan Hutton back to back to back. Did not plan for that to be that way.
I'm wearing my life jacket, Joe. The boat's still afloat.
Allie in Bellevue says, I'm here for the Kesha music today. Well done. Jenny, are you going to the Kesha show tonight?
I am not. I actually got to engineer this press.
Oh, okay.
Evening, so I will be here at Bridgestone Arena. You can stop by and see us at Barrel House. Max Hers for the pregame, postgame, and intermission report. So
I'll be over there.
Also, JD on the text line says, Kesha's going to be stuck in my head all day now. Thanks, guys.
Why do you think I felt?
The head in the face.
Yeah,
head that in was, the face.
Fun fact about Kesha, her parents used to live in my neighborhood.
So that's crazy you brought that up. And again, keep the reaction going about Kevin Byard, but this is a funny story. At one time, the Billboard albums chart, three Middle Tennessee people were, because you had Kesha was like number three. Kings of Leon were number two. And like, I think half of them are from Mount Juliet or something. I may be incorrect, but all right, I'm correct on that. All right, thank you very much. They went to Mount Juliet High School or homeschooled or something. And then Taylor Swift was number one. So we had Hendersonville High School. We had Mount Juliet High School, maybe one with the Wilson Central, whatever. And then Dr. Crane, we had Kesha from Brentwood.
How about it?
I don't think any of them graduated from there. Like, The Rock went to McGavick, my high school. The Rock went to McGavick for 6 weeks. I claim him as an alumni.
That's right? Fair enough.
Would you do that?
I claim Rajon Rondo from my high school, and he went there for 1 or 2 years for going to Oak Hill. You know, Oak Hill, the big basketball powerhouse that sends you to every D1 program you want to go to.
So. Dr. Crane, you went to Father Ryan. Who we got? Who do you claim at Father Ryan?
This is a tough one. I mean, there are some names out there. I mean,
the Pope, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have the Pope. Juwan Williams, a former football player for Father Ryan.
Yeah, where's he now?
He is with, I think, he was with Minnesota going into the season. I'm not too sure where he's at now, but former Vandy cornerback there. Prince Charles Awara was a big track star at Father Ryan, set a few state titles, went to my grade school, actually, and he got drafted by the 49ers back in the 2016 draft, I believe, 2013, in the seventh round, sixth round. I double-check all that. But, yes, from the wonderful Fighting Irish.
I'm looking up now that Father Ryan had Monroe Carroll Jr. went there. He's
yes.
Lou Graham, who won the U.S. Open in 1975. Oh, John Siegenthaler Sr. and Jr. went there. Look, you got some great people there. Boots Donnelly, the former
Mr.
MTSU
Donnelly.
Football coach.
I may have left out a few names. I'm just – brain's all scattered right now, okay, Joe? Just give me a little bit. Come
here,
break. Is
it Ted DiBiase? Did he get you all scattered on that?
Maybe. I don't know. There's too many dollar bills flying in here right now.
Right. They came in there. Let's see, Ryan on the text line says, Timber from Kesher reminded me of a Peckham memory against the Habs when he knocked down one of the Hab players who ran into him. Nice. I don't remember that, but.
I don't remember that either.
I miss Pecorine.
We do got Benjamin on the text line, though, talking about Trey that hurt him. Apparently he's a Memphis Grizzlies fan, and he was sad when Mike Conley left. Do you know who Mike Conley is?
Yes. Okay. He signed that massive $50 million max contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that crew I'm thinking about, right, guy?
Yep.
Ohio
yep.
State?
No. Was it Mike Conley, Ohio State?
Why'd your voice get so high?
I don't know.
Is that the same voice I use? I'm unsure about something. I'm not.
I'm not sure either.
But, you know, and you know, listen to Robbie and Rex Road, that great show this morning, and about 50% text line. We're happy Byard's gone. 50% understand it, you know. And so where do you fall on this?
I understand it, but for me, I just felt like this is not a good move to do in season. I think Byard is just too important to that locker room. Being in the locker room, I will say this about Kevin Byard, and I feel like I've got to put it out there. You know, I started going and covering the Titans for their home games last year. Chase McKay gave me that opportunity, and I'm very grateful for it. But the first player that I ever talked to and felt comfortable talking to, because if you work in this business, you understand that, you know, that first time getting up and approaching players is difficult to do. And I just remember it being so easy to talk to Kevin. And he always gave you right answers. He was always positive. He was always trying to be that vocal leader in the locker room to motivate the guys and to really kind of be that second voice from what Mike Vrabel was trying to relay,
right,
and be the voice of the players that also energized the locker room as well. So I don't know. It's just, for me, I knew that they were shopping him this offseason. I felt like if you were going to do it either before the season started to where, you know, it's not going to be a distraction and take away from what they got going on now, or do it at the end of this season when this core is done, if
right,
you've adjusted his contract to be able to cut him and not fulfill that final year and let him decide to go play where he wanted to. So for me, I don't think it made sense from a locker room standpoint to do it in the middle of the season right now at this crucial moment when this team is, you know, allegedly trying to get things turned around.
We opened a whole nother can of worms with who went to your high school that was famous. 9257 says, I went to high school with Usher. We had PE together, and I would guard him in basketball. Nice. Thank you for that. All right, we'll take a break, come back to celebrity birthdays. We're going to cut out this show a little bit early and let the pros come in. Caroline, D. Mason, Willie, who'll get you set up for Mike Vrabel, who's going to talk at the top of the hour. And, boy, this will be must-listen radio today. Right, Jenny?
Yep, and before we go, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 8 matchup against the Falcons and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Again, coming up next, we are going to play celebrity birthdays. Hopefully, I can finally get one over on Nick Frazier, but we'll wrap up the show coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5. And 106.3 The Game.
Yeah.
Get it, Dr. Crane. I welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe show. The Riddler filling in for the Big Boss Man, who'll be back Thursday. Continue reaction coming in about the Kevin Byard trade. Again, Mike Vrabel is going to speak at the top of the hour. We're going to get out of here a few minutes early. Let the A-team of Caroline, D. Mason, Willie get in here and get you all set up for Mike Vrabel. And Jenny, that might be the most anticipated press conference of a Titans head coach in years.
Yeah, no, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of controversy since Vrabel has taken over. They've done a lot of winning outside of, you know, the tail end of last season. And so it's going to be really interesting to get his perspective on, you know, his trip up to New England, the Kevin Byard trade, the direction of the team, who's going to be starting at quarterback this week, you know, the trade deadline, if there's going to be any more moves. I mean, there's going to be a ton of really big-time questions
right.
that are going to be answered in today's press conference. So it's going to be one that you're going to want to tune into, and we're going to be airing it right here on these airwaves.
I just want to know, how do you tell the fans you haven't given up on the season? I want to see how he spins that. All right, Dr. Crane, you ready?
Let's do this thing.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays today. America's favorite game, and it's a lot of fun. Even Jonathan Hutton says it's his favorite game he's ever played. All right, today's birthday. You guys ready? Here we go. First birthday up is the famed actor F. Murray Abraham. How old is F. Murray Abraham? He was great in Homeland. He's been in a ton of movies. I think he was in Amadeus back in the day. How old is he?
I'm going to go 72.
67.
84. Good job, guys. Actor Kevin Kline. He's married to Phoebe Cates. He won an Oscar for A Fish Called Wanda. How old's Kevin Kline?
Kevin Kline is 66.
Ooh, this is tough. We're going to go 63.
He's 76. And by the way, if you've never seen the movie Dave with Kevin Kline, it is a fantastic and wonderful movie. So see the movie Dave. Here we go. Let me see who else we get down here. You guys. Drake. All right. How old's Drake?
Ooh, I should get this one. I'm going to say he's 36.
He's got to be in his 30s. Let's go 34.
He's 37.
Ooh. Ah, I got
Junie
it.
Got it. Good job, Junie. Well done. Well done. Junie, don't go anywhere. Let's see what else we got here. Sorry. Former Rolling Stones bass player Bill Wyman. And I'm actually shocked that he's still alive.
Oh, well, that's a good hint. I'm going to go high then. is it because of the drugs or is it because he's an old guy? I don't know.
A little of both.
I'm going to say 71.
76.
He is 87. Mm. You guys are terrible today.
It was the old age.
Well, off by 10 again, Joe. All of them just off by 10.
Yeah, increase that up. Today's a terrible day for Bert. You know, tomorrow – oh, by the way, former 102.5 program director Ryan Porth's birthday is today.
Oh.
How's Ryan Porth? I don't know.
Old enough to be a father.
Yeah, he is old enough to be a father. Actor Doug Davidson from The Young and the Restless. Very debonair and handsome gentleman.
I'm gonna say 59.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Oh man, I'm gonna stay in the 60s. 64.
All right, Dr. Crane, you just told me that you want to go 10 years more. You should have gone 10 years more because Doug Davidson's 69.
I was 5 years off. I said 64.
I said 59.
All right, singer Monica, and this is it because the birthdays today aren't really good. So this will be it for today. But we got to get out of here anyway.
Monica, what is Monica from?
Monica sings a song.
Oh.
Songs.
That doesn't help us. Right? Is this from your generation?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I've never heard of Monica either.
I'm just going to guess she's older. Let me say 78.
Yikes. This is tough. I mean, if Joe doesn't know and we don't know, either very, very old or fairly young.
Okay.
I'm going to just take a wild card shot. 37.
She's 43.
And
we're done. Junie, you win 1-0.
Fair enough.
Why I love this game, because people are like, oh, I don't want to do it. Then you start playing, you get into it, and it's like, oh, then you start going through your mind of how old somebody is. That's why it's a lot of fun there. So, Junie, congratulations on the big win today.
Because I'm a big Drake fan. So.
You are a big Drake fan.
That's the only reason I won today. So, finally, victory on the board.
Yeah.
I can soak this one in until tomorrow. So.
You Greg Maddox'd Dr. Crane. You know what that means?
No, I don't.
You finessed him. You win 1-0.
Finessed
you weren't
me.
Fancy. You weren't beautiful.
Shut him
you
out,
weren't
though.
Pretty. You shut him out and got the job done.
It's a dirty win. I like it.
Yeah. A dirty win.
Anyway, you can get it.
It's how it got in there, so I'm so proud of you for all that. Again, keep the text coming about the what trade devastated you. By the way, the Usher guy that we're in about who went to high school, somebody famous, Usher's from Chattanooga.
I didn't know that.
Really? From Hickson, Tennessee. Had no idea Usher was from there.
Wow.
You know Samuel L. Jackson's from Chattanooga.
Is he really?
Yep. You know what he's famous for? Can't say it on air. Can't say his words on air.
The F word.
Snakes on a plane, right, Dr. Crane?
That's right.
Yeah, we can't do all that stuff. So that's crazy. So people who didn't know. And Tennessee's got some great people, man, from the state.
You know,
people from the Commonwealth need to realize how great the state of Tennessee is.
Tennessee is a
great
state.
Stop moving here.
But we got some great guys, too. George Clooney's from Kentucky. Johnny Depp is from Kentucky.
So is Dwight Yoakam, who you don't know.
I don't. You're right. I don't know who Dwight
Yoakam
is.
He was from where was Johnny Depp from?
Owensboro.
Owensboro, right.
We also have the Louisville Lip, Muhammad Ali.
True.
One of the most famous. I still will never forget the day he passed away. And they did a funeral drive around the entire city.
Yeah, people, I remember that. Yeah.
People were going nuts for it.
I'll still take, in my state, I'll take Dolly Parton, Pat Summitt, Wilma Rudolph, Minnie Pearl over anybody you throw at me.
Yeah, we can't beat that. We got Muhammad Ali, a few actors here.
Muhammad's up there. Although Clooney's a little bit more Cincinnati-ish, isn't he? Or does he claim Kentucky his home?
I think Clooney is definitely Kentucky.
Like Covington, is that across the river from Cincinnati?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
When I played lacrosse games up in Covington, so up there a couple times. I didn't know he was from.
I thought you said you played lacrosse with Clooney. Nobody cares you played lacrosse.
No, I'm just saying that I've been up to Covington area. Either way, hold on, but we are heading out a couple minutes soon. Wes from Clarksville on here says Vrabel's going to play a void. I bet he will give very vague answers. That's a not so hot take there by Wes from Clarksville.
It is. All right, we're going to get out a couple minutes early. We'll set the table for our great A team coming in with Caroline, D. Mason, Willie. Get you set up for Mike Vrabel. Expect to talk at 11 o'clock. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game. They'll have everything for you. Ginny, love you. I'll see you tomorrow. And by the way, folks, remember to our guys out there, we love you. If you're struggling, need to talk to somebody, please reach out and talk to somebody. You can talk to us. You know where to find us on socials. Our world's a better place because you're here. A lot of people are going through some tough times right now. But know that we love you and need you here, and we're always here for you. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.